wonder. Today I want to speak a little bit about the number one, the power of one, okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to heaven except through me. One man sent to die for all sin. Power of one. That's just our beginning today. I want to read a poem. These are lyrics from a musical group, very awesome tenors called Gentry. And the name of this song is One. And it just fits with what we have today. So, one risk can spark a moment. One chance begins a dream. One step can start a journey. One truth can set you free. The road less traveled calls to you. One thought can spark creation. One choice can start today. One candle conquers darkness. One lighthouse lights the way. The towering mountain calls to you. One life can make a difference. It's all inside of you. Our hearts can beat together now. It's up to you. One seed can start a forest. One raindrop builds a stream. One voice can lead a nation. One vision can be seen. The future is waiting if we choose. One life can make a difference. It's all inside of you. Our hearts can beat together, binding strong and true. Our prayers can reach the heavens now. It's up to you. And with 100 voices now standing hand in hand, now half the battle's won. And with 1,000 voices, just look what we can do, standing as one. One life can make a difference. It's all inside of you. One voice can make a choir sing a joyful tune. Our hearts can beat together, binding strong and true. Our prayers can reach the heavens now. It's up to you. One voice. Today we're going to study through a chapter in the book of Daniel. Chapter 9, where one voice from one man, one prayer said. We're going to look at that one prayer today and talk a little bit about it, see what the Lord has for us from it. In today's day and age, you can't look out the window without knowing and seeing a world desperately in need of prayer. One world desperately in need of one Jesus, one Savior, who died for all sins. So basically, what you got here in Daniel is you got, who knows, who's read the book of Daniel here? Show of hands. Okay. You got a very prayerful man. We know this much. Okay. His beginnings, he was a young man in Jerusalem, and he was part of a deportation that happened, and a bunch of slaves were taken to Babylon from Jerusalem after, as a way of stamping down rebels and rebellion within Jerusalem. The king of Babylon was the big authority, the big power, if you will, to be in the world at the time. And Daniel was one of many that were brought along a slave train, if you will, to Babylon, away from his homeland. Daniel, what kind of person was Daniel? He was a prayerful person. He was a person who put himself in good company. Think about his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Prayerful people, right? Remember the story of how everyone was asked to bow down to the golden image, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. I have to believe that one prayer was a big part of their salvation in that moment, in that fiery furnace, where not a bit of the fire touched even their clothes. One word, probably. Help! Or Lord, save. Save me. Save, Lord. He hung out with good people. He was a prayerful people. He was the type of person that authorities came to for advice. He was the type of person kings came to for interpretation of dreams. Right? And more than once, Nebuchadnezzar came to him. And then later, when the finger points on the wall to pass judgment on Babylon, they remember again that there was this one man, Daniel, who could interpret dreams. He seemed to have a direct line with God. He seemed to know more than the other wise guys. Right? So he was known by powerful people. He was known by his friends, but he was also known by his enemies to be a man who loved one God and would refuse to bow to any other image, would refuse to pray to any other image than the one God. In fact, as I read through the book of Daniel, I'm reminded that the whole book in itself is a good reminder of how God's in control of world events, how he's in control of current events, and how he's in control of the future. Every single chapter, there's prophecy in the book of Daniel. Some of it we'll even touch on a little bit tonight. But it's all about reaching out and showing people the one God. The world we live in today needs Jesus. There's nothing any person can say. There's nothing any one politician can do or any one army can do. The world needs Jesus. There's only one solution. It's Jesus. Why are we missing this? Let's turn over to verse 1. All right? Get started with our little study. Chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. For those of us studying at home, give you a second to flip through. In verse 1, it says this, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom." I just want to clarify, this ain't the same Xerxes in 300, the movie. This ain't the same Xerxes that was during the time of Esther, okay? But this timeline right here would have been about 538 BC. Totally different timeline than that Xerxes you read about, okay? Which, by the way, happens to put Daniel in a neat position. He's been there now in Babylon almost 70 years. I think it's about 67 years. All right. And in the next verse, it says, "In the first year of his reign," being Darius, all right? "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years." Jeremiah. Known also as the weeping prophet. Why was he called the weeping prophet? I'll give someone a chance to answer this. Anyone? Adia.
I'm guessing Jeremiah was the prophet right before the Babylonians took over.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to warn the Israelites, and since they wouldn't listen, he would weep.
That's right. From the mouth of babes. All right? Absolutely. He put forth this warning. Put forth this warning. You need to get back to God. You need to get back to Him. You need to be prayerful. You need to be real. Stop faking it. All right? He gave him warning after warning. What happened? He got smacked around for it. His family didn't want to listen to him for it. His friends thought he was just a crazy guy. Often prophets and evangelists are seen that way throughout history. They're seen as just some kook. All right? Which leads me to ask this question. If the Bible tells us that some are appointed to apostles, and some are appointed to prophets, and some are appointed to pastors, and some are appointed to teachers, right? Why does the God point even one man to such a position of authority? Right? Because he has a message he wants to deliver. It's very easy to understand that when you look at the letters from guys like Jeremiah. There was a message that had to be delivered. All right. So he uses this one man, Jeremiah, to deliver a message. No one listens to the message. And he warns them and he warns them and he says, look, after 70 years, you'll be brought back. Right. He warns them, but no one listens. This is why he was known as the weeping prophet. In fact, you can find that verse. Let's see if I even wrote it down. You can find that verse, chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For those of you who want to look at that later. where he tells the people of the 7 years. Well, one person was listening. Hallelujah. Daniel was able to remember. Maybe, have you ever had the Spirit bring back a memory right when you needed it? Yeah? So this is what was happening to Daniel. So Daniel, the Spirit comes back into him and he says, remember, Jeremiah said this. So what does Daniel do? He hits the prayer bones. In a very real and very powerful, intense kind of way. He prays. Not the superficial, God, thank you for our food. Listen, it's good to be thankful for your food, and I'm telling you, you got to pray over your meals with your family and stuff, but there's so much more to prayer than that. There's so much more power that can come from just one prayer, from just one individual, as we're reading about tonight, one individual praying on behalf of himself? No. He was praying on behalf of a nation. Could we agree that our nation needs that kind of devotion and attention right now? We have some very strong parallels, things to relate to from this chapter. Let's read on. Verse 3. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting in sackcloth and ashes. What are fasting, sackcloth, and ashes? What's the point in all that when we're talking about prayer and petition? Just shortly, I'll tell you this. It's to intensify your talk with God, your focus on God. I've actually fallen asleep trying to pray early in the morning before. I need to be more focused on God. I need to be more intense in my prayer. I've gone through some experiences of fasting. I'll tell you, if you're not focused on God, when you fast for 2 or 3 days, you're going to be a miserable, cranky individual. But if you focus on God, your prayers can get intense. And as we're going to read later in the chapter, as soon as your prayers are heard, God acts. All right? He may not act in the way that you always want. His will is going to be what's done. All right, but God hears your prayers and he acts. Fasting, sackcloth, the ashes, that was like a long time thing in the Middle East. It still goes on today. But the fact of the matter is we don't need to be fasting. We don't need to have sackcloth and ashes to be affronted by sin and to pray on behalf of others and pray on behalf of our country. And pray on behalf of our families. Pray on behalf of our children, our wives, our friends, our home, our church, our city. One prayer, one life can make a difference. One voice can see it, can raise a nation. One voice can change things. One prayer can make a difference if it's prayed to God with the right heart. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered in shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, O Lord, we and our kings and our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. We are as much a country founded by God as Israel. We are a country started by godly, praying men. People who God was important to them. To be able to worship in spirit and in truth. without anyone telling you how to worship or what to do. Constantly we look at the news and we find that some of those rights are getting pressed upon more and more even today. But that should not stop the people of God from praying. Not stop the people called by His name from reaching out to Him and calling out, Lord, we need You. I don't care if you're in a church. I don't care if you're in a jail cell. God hears you from both places. What rock can you hide under? God sees you through it all. He hears you through it all. And if one voice can make a difference, why aren't we praying like that? But we can. We can start things new. One idea can spark discovery. And what I'm discovering right now from this idea the Lord has given me is that we should be praying as one voice. I'm one man. Tracy's one man. Joe's one man. Paul, one man. But what happens when we join our voices together? One. Therefore, next verse. Remember, anytime you read the word therefore, as Jim would say, you want to think about what it's there for. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster under the whole heaven. Nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. We're in times like that today. I mean, the world has never seen such fighting, such violence. My wallet was just stolen from my car today. Oh, well. I expect that from this wretched world. Because there's this one guy called Satan going around trying to jack everyone's thinking. He's trying to get you so focused and caught up on everything else, like who you're going to vote for president, or who, how we're going to pay for the next meal, or whatever the case may be that your stresses are. But he's got us focused on everything else and not on the one God. Not in one voice acting in prayer. When are we going to act as one, stand and say enough? That's what I'm hoping happens tonight. Revival starts with one prayer. Let that be tonight. Let revival come to this one nation tonight. And from there spread to the ends of the earth. The world needs Jesus. Just as it was written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to heaven except through me. Who here believes in heaven? Who here believes in hell? How much do you not like your fellow man if you're not telling everyone about this one choice? About this one God, if you're not praying for them? Your neighbors. The Lord says to love your enemies. I mean, you should be praying for them too. Everyone needs this one Jesus. This one man who never did anything wrong, but took all sin on his shoulders, abused on our behalfs. I don't know about you, but every time I think about what he did on the cross for me, I get choked up. And I hit my knees and I say, thank you, Jesus. Because I don't feel worthy, but he felt I was worthy. And one man died for my sins, yours, and everyone you've ever met. Whether they accept him or not, he died for him. And we have this one voice, and we can use this one voice to reach the nation on behalf of Jesus. If we go with the one Spirit. His Spirit. We have not given proper attention to the truth that we know. This is not just, I'm not talking about unbelievers right here. Paul said in Corinthians, he told us that, you know, what do you expect from unbelievers? I'm not here to judge that. But the immoral among you, cast out. Basically, it's this. If you're a believer, if you're called by the name of Christ, we should know better. We should know where to find hope, right? We should know. We do know. And we're going to start acting with one voice. Praying more. Calling out to God. On behalf of people we've never even met, people we don't even like, or people we love so desperately and dearly, we just want to see them have a real relationship with Christ. There's this one body, this one church, and it's compromised of like 1.8 billion people in the world. Could you imagine what awesomeness God could do if 1.8 billion people that call themselves by the name of Jesus started praying with one voice? There wouldn't be 1.8 million Muslims in the world anymore, I tell you that much. I just think there's so much power in the number one, especially when we're talking about it when it comes to prayer to our one God. There's one tool that we can use to get through this life and to help others, and that's prayer. The rest is up to Jesus. He does the watering, He does the growing, He does the saving. But if we don't pray, I don't want to get to heaven and God said, you know, show me that so many other people could have heard my word if you would have just opened up your mouth. When it's uncomfortable, when the Spirit tells you to do something, you do it, right? Because He saved me from so much. There's so many times that I should have been dead. I was a thug, nothing more, nothing less. But the Lord knew something, all right? He wanted to bring me through something. He wanted to teach me something. And for some weird reason, He wanted me to teach others something about this one Jesus, this one God who saves a wretch like me. And if He could save a wretch like me, He could save anyone in this room, anyone in this world. That's a fact, Jack. We got to give attention to the truth that we know, that Jesus is the way, that prayer works. We've seen so many examples of it. So many, how many more historical evidences do we need before we start doing the things that we read in Scripture to do, like pray? Tonight, we act as one voice to make a difference. The Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster upon us, for the Lord, our God, is righteous in everything He does. Yet, we have not obeyed Him. I'm a parent. Everyone knows it. So when I discipline my kids, sometimes I'm like, how many times do I got to do this before you get it? You know what? The Bible says that he who spares the rod hates his son. I love my sons. I love my daughters. I have to know that God loves 7 billion people on a spinning ball with the same kind of love. That He will take you to the woodshed as much as He needs to until there's no other choice to be made. You either make it or you don't. But one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that one Jesus is Lord. And He died for us. Regardless of what decisions we have made in regards to that, He still did it. Amazing grace. We need to obey because our God is righteous. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong, O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts. Turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins, the iniquities of our fathers, have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. America is scorned by every country around us. No one likes America. I heard in the GA summit one time that someone referred to one of our past presidents as Satan himself. He said he can even smell the sulfur from the podium. This is the kind of impression that people have of America, a Christian nation. Maybe that's part of it. It's definitely going to be part of it when the Christian nation is not acting with one voice. Jerusalem was scattered. We're scattered right now. We've got soldiers and people in every country either ministering the word of God or working refugee camps or fighting wars. The Lord can bring everyone back. He can bring peace. He will bring peace someday. One voice can make a difference. One voice, it starts a choir. Now, have you ever heard that one guy singing? I don't care if he's got the best baritone tenor voice in the world, man. He's got all kinds of power that he is able to project. No microphone, and he can hit these notes, and he can project this sound that can reach every corner of the room, no matter how big the room is. But then you take 100 guys like that. And you add to that. Now you got a choir of such voices, and you could practically blow the roof off the place. What happens when the Christians of this country start singing, worshiping, and praying with that one voice? We'll blow the roof off every building in this country. People won't know what hit them. It'll be a Jesus movement, a revival to blow away anything that's ever happened before. And never has there been a time that a revival has been more needed. So many people that don't feel God is important or don't believe in God or don't want to have nothing to do with it or are actively hostile towards Him. The world needs Him. He still loves them. This one God still wants every one of those people. Every one of them. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look on favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. We are not righteous. But the reason I cry out to God is I know He is merciful. The Scripture tells us that He is faithful even when we are not. You know, right now God's ear is turned towards East Side Calvary, listening, wanting to hear from one voice. Maybe we can pray that way today. Let's see. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, oh my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. We are Christians. We belong to that name, the name of Jesus. And as Christians, like many before us, we have the power to make the name of Jesus famous or infamous. Which one are you making Him today? One voice can change a nation. Daniel's voice brought about changes. Yes, God had preordained, but this one voice called out in prayer and says, I remember, Lord, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten your ways. I know your truth. I know your son, Jesus. This is for us now. I know your son, Jesus. Died on the cross for all sin. Not just mine, but all sin. I was told today to talk to you like I do my friends. I I talk to my friends all very intensely about this. In fact, most of my friends don't want to hang out with me anymore. That's why I hang out with this church so much, like-minded company. But tonight I even pray for them because I want to see them in heaven. I want to look to the left and the right just long enough in heaven to see millions of angels and people singing songs. One voice in hallelujah, praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, what a day that will be. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, let's pause there for a second. The Lord taught us how to pray, didn't he? We confess sin and we ask him to be forgiving as we have been forgiven much. We acknowledge his righteousness and we give him our praise and our love. There is nothing wrong with being affronted, being upset at the sin and the things going on around you. I don't say these things to make people offended. I don't say these things to friends of mine to make them feel hurt. I say them because I love them enough that I don't want to see them go through this life without Jesus. I remember, like, me and my wife and a few other friends, and we ministered to a cousin of mine, Bobby. We ministered to him for probably a good couple of years, man. A lot of people at different times, different ways. So many people were praying for him. We ministered him for him to see the truth and to break away from things that were deceptive in his life. And nothing. I thought for a second, maybe I can say the words that would be said for him to get saved. There's nothing I can do. Jesus does the growing. Jesus does the saving. But if we lift our voices up in prayer, maybe he'll bring someone along. You know what I mean? We stop trying to do the saving ourselves. Maybe we just pray. Maybe he'll bring someone along. My cousin Bobby got saved one day, and I'll never forget it, because my best friend Russ, who I've known for 20 years, we went to high school together, he says, "You'll never believe who went to the altar call at Rock Family Church." And I was like, "Who?" I don't go there. I don't know. He goes, "Your cousin Bobby." And I was like, "What? Yes." My one friend was able to say the words the Spirit had given him. Bobby accepted Jesus into his heart and bowed knee to him at that altar. Praise God in heaven. Angels in heaven rejoice for one soul saved. So even when your prayers seem like they're for naught, because you got 350 million people in this country, that one person who hears the Spirit and gets saved because of intense intercessory prayer, it's all worth it. We should be dancing and giving joyous noise to the Lord over such things. He confessed his sins and the sins of his people. I acknowledge the sin of our country today. I see it everywhere I go. We have cities called Sin City. Nicknames. A lot of truth in that, though. This country has gotten so far away from God. They took them out of the schools. They put them on the side. And eventually they lost sight of him altogether. They want to take the Ten Commandments out of schools and out of buildings. This country wants to not even pray on a Bible in court anymore. This one God who's done nothing but love. And this country wants nothing to do with him. But even that can change because his Spirit is powerful. His Spirit, when it goes out and starts touching shoulders, it's going to save. So our one voice raised high to the heavens could do so much. verse 21, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight from about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand. He was in intense prayer in that moment. I mean, we have these thoughts of what angels look like, right? You know, I've heard it described, these big buff guys, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but 12 feet tall. And, you know, and there's just this fearful presence that they kind of give off, because people, when they see them, they're just like, oh my goodness. And it just is shocking. But he didn't even notice Gabriel coming up. What intense prayer is that? You don't even notice the angel standing next to you. All of a sudden, whoa. And Gabriel is giving him this message. He said, as soon as you started praying, an answer was given. I was sent out to give you an answer. The one man, one prayer. Wow. Wow. We could do that for our nation. We could do that for those around us. Seventy sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin and atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s, seven sevens, and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler will come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Some heavy prophecy right there. And, you know, some of this is, there's a certain amount of math that was done, that was given, and most people would agree that this means about 490 years from the point of the decree that went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the point that Jesus goes through those gates on that donkey. There's some that have theorized that some of this is talking about the end times too, the Antichrist even. But the thing I've gotten from this most is that the one man who prayed was given this revelation, and now we all benefit from it. Wow. One man, one prayer, one vision. And billions benefit from it. Hallelujah. Jesus is good. Tonight we have a lot to think about. The Spirit has given us a lot to think about, I believe, tonight. He's asked much of us. And there's really nothing more I can say. Scripture, we got Scripture. Scripture is all enough. On its own is enough. The Lord is telling us we should be like Daniel. We should be praying. We should be praying just as intensely. I'm not saying put on sackcloth, even though I'd like to know if anyone here has any. I'm not saying throw ashes on your head. But Joel said to rend your heart, not your garments. He said, come to the altar. In fact, The altar is open right now. In a second, I'm going to turn around to close in prayer. But I would like to invite everyone to come up to the altar with me. To whether you bow knee or you stand up here, whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet or not, now is the moment of your salvation. If you haven't, come do that. We will do it with you. We will be here with you. We'll hold you up. But come with me and pray as we close out this service and go out from this place acting in one voice, one prayer, crying out to one God. With 1,000 voices ringing true, just look what we can do standing as one. You know, the scriptures told us that, was it one can rout 100, but two can rout 10,000? What happens when everyone in this room gets up and prays together? With that one spirit to that one God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I cry out to you. We know that we have sinned much. We know we have sinned against you. We know we should know better. Lord Almighty, we love you. We cry out to you. We ask you to forgive us of our many sins. We ask you to help us to be forgiving to others. We ask you to show yourself to us every single day so that we can't look to the left or the right. We ask you, Lord, to touch others through our actions and our words and our lives. We ask you to be seen through it all. We ask you to be faithful even when we are not. Lord, we don't cry out to you, as Daniel said, we don't cry out to you because of our righteousness, because we are not. We cry out to you because of your great mercy. And this country, which was founded by your name, Jesus, it needs you. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We need salvation. They need you, Lord. So we cry out as one voice standing strong. We cry out to one Jesus and we say, save. We say, Lord, touch our leaders, touch our officials. Be in this election. Bring a godly man to office who will implement change and prayer in our country. Lord, we ask you to make us a prayerful people. We rend our hearts, not our garments. We rend our hearts and we turn to you and we say, Lord, forgive us. Be merciful to us. And who knows, maybe one soul will be saved even tonight. We ask, Lord, for revival to start in Colorado Springs this very night. We ask for revival to spread to the ends of the earth, through this nation. We ask it to touch every single shoulder. We ask you to visit people in dreams. We ask you to convert Muslims and Mormons and Buddhists, Lord. We ask you to reach the indigenous tribes, Lord. We ask you to be with our missionaries and our soldiers, Lord. We ask you to be with our government officials. We ask you to change the way they think. We ask you to change the way they look to you, Lord. We ask you to visit even Barack Obama in his home tonight. We ask for this, Lord, because we want to see him saved. We want to see Hillary saved. We want to see Donald Trump saved. We want to see them all saved. It doesn't matter what party or political alignment you are. We want you to know Jesus. We want you to be visited and touched by Jesus, the King of Kings, the Most High God. This one Savior that came to save us from our sins. I know I didn't deserve it. I know the 8 billion people on this world don't deserve it. But you loved us enough to do it. And we cry out to you, Lord, save. We cry out with one voice. We cry out with one voice strong in you. Lord, change even us today. As we leave from this place, make prayer and you a priority in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.